I wanted to talk, give you a little bit of a history about our school-based influenza immunization program in Alachua County. Alachua County is in north central Florida, about 2 hours north of the gates of Disney, and it is the home of the Gators, the University of Florida. How we actually began along this journey was in about 2005. We had a very passionate pediatric immunologist who was very concerned about how the community would prepare itself against pandemic flu. We also, about that time, also opened a new Emerging Pathogens Institute. And people's discussions began, and our coalition was born to start focusing on how to better protect our community against influenza and possibly pandemic flu. The early stages of our coalition actually began in the year 2006. We planned a pilot program to provide live attenuated influenza vaccine to students, which I will continue to call FluMist. But that program actually began in the fall of 2006. MedImmune generously provided us with the vaccine. Unfortunately, because of delays related to signing contracts, consent forms were not distributed until October that year, and we were not able to begin until November. That said, we learned a lot about school-based immunization programs. We ended up with about 25% of the K through 8th grade students immunized. A follow-up survey of parents showed that they were very positive about the program, and that sort of inspired us to begin planning a more major school-based immunization program for influenza during the year 2009 to 2010. Our objective was to immunize 70% of the public and private pre-K through 8th grade students in Alachua County against seasonal influenza. When we were doing our planning, H1N1 had not appeared yet. One of the things that we looked at was we looked at a lot of the research that had been done with computer modeling, which showed that if you can protect 70% of the school-age children, you're actually protecting the whole community. And there's less likelihood that older adults and people at risk within your community will develop influenza. I throw up this research because this really has sort of driven a lot of what we've done in Alachua County. This is based on research that was reported by Reichert and all in the March 2001 edition of the New England Journal of Medicine. Briefly, what happened is sort of a history of influenza and a school-based influenza program in Japan. In 1957, there was an outbreak of H2N2 in Japan, and they had large numbers of deaths. And based on that, it was decided in 1962 to start a school-based immunization program. And in 1977, it actually went to a mandatory school-based immunization program. They were using inactivated vaccine. But you can see from this chart that as more children became vaccinated, the number of deaths in the whole country related to influenza and pneumonia went down dramatically. In 1987, parents were beginning to complain about the mandatory aspects of this, and they lightened up some of the regulations. And in 1994, they stopped doing the school-based immunization program. And the rates went way, way down of kids that were immunized and the number of deaths related to influenza went up dramatically. It's estimated that for every 420 shots given to children, they saved one life. Okay, so in our case, In 2009, we found that one of the major issues when you're doing a school-based immunization program is getting consent from parents. And I'm not going to go into it in this. That's actually enough probably for a whole day conference, what we've learned about consent forms, et cetera. Needless to say, if you're planning to do a school-based immunization program, you need to take a close look at the procedures that you're going through as far as your consent forms. In 2009, we sent a letter to parents with the vaccination information sheet and consent form, and it was sent home with the children the first week of school, which was the last week in August. My personal theory, this is not based on any scientific research, is that there's an inverse relationship between the age of the child and the possibility that a parent will ever see what's in what the child has brought home. So when you're sending home things at the beginning of the year, the odds of it ever being seen by the parent actually is not real good, because so much is going home in sort of the black hole of consent forms. I'm going to talk a little bit. I wanted to give you some information. We were in over 40 schools in Alachua County. My students became very, very involved with two schools that were identified during our pilot program as being vulnerable. They had low socioeconomic rates, and the rates of children immunized during the pilot program had been very, very low. So we focused on School A. We're using free and reduced lunch as our indicator of socioeconomic conditions of neighborhoods. And for both these schools, we have A and B. During our pilot program, 9% of the children in these schools were immunized. As comparison, we have a School C, which is very similar to our School A and B. And then we have School D, which is from a higher socioeconomic area. And you can see that during our pilot, it had a much higher percentage of children being immunized. And that's just a chart showing that the schools that we focused on, A and B, had the highest, actually, rates of free and reduced lunch in the county. Our problem began when we started in 2009. We really didn't have a system in place to sort of monitor how many of the consent forms were coming in. They decided to check about mid-September to see what was happening at some of our more vulnerable schools. And I received a phone call about September 15th saying that in School A and B, the rate of return was very, very low. And when I say return, we really wanted to get a consent form back, yes or no, which told us that the parents actually had gotten information about the FluMiss program. So in School A, only 27% of the forms had come in, and they didn't know in School B. All they knew is just they had just gotten a few in, and they didn't even have a percentage. So I had 10 senior baccalaureate nursing students who were all excited, because when we said FluMiss, they thought they just could think about administering it. They never thought about the planning portion of it. So I went to them and I said, okay, we've got a problem. This week and next week, these are our high-risk vulnerable schools. You need to think about strategies that we can do to get those consent rates up. And pretty much gave them a lot of flexibility to come up with different strategies. Before they actually went out, they had already viewed a class on influenza, so they had basic knowledge. We provided them a sheet on talking points, and they conducted windshield surveys of the neighborhoods for A and B. My students were fantastic. I call them my SWAT team, and they were very creative. They were finding ways to connect with parents. At one school, it might be being in the parking lot at 6:30 in the morning. At another school, it might be doing after school. They were prepared to answer questions. They had extra forms for people who had lost forms. They posted signage around so people could actually see easy reminders about bringing in their forms, really critically, and I think this goes back to Lillian Wald and Lena Rogers and that whole concept of we want to keep kids healthy. And in school, we had to get that message across to principals and teachers. And both these schools had had lowest grades that Florida gives the year before. These were high-risk schools. They needed to keep kids in school, so that was a really important point for us to make to the principals and teachers. Our students went into the classrooms, did presentations on hand washing, talking about flu mist. They actually covered a whole school in like one day. So these were just brief presentations. And they help the school nurses actually get organized. School nurses are bombarded at the beginning of the year with all the things they have to do, and many of them just had real trouble coming up with some kind of system to process these forms and review them. School A, we were really, in 1 week, based on what the students did, and there was other media blitz going on, but they went from having 27% of their school consent forms in to 70% of their school consent forms in. School B went to 72%, and School C, where there had been, it was a high-risk school, there was no interventions, was at 40%, and the School D with a higher socioeconomic level was at 50%. So we were pretty happy with that. Whoops. The immunization rate was, it ended up that the immunization, I need to, the way these are set up, we ended up with, School A ended up with 54% of their students being immunized, School B 55%, sort of our control was 26%, overall for the whole county was 55%, and for the school with a higher socioeconomic, it was 51%. So our lessons learned were that we can bring up the rates in some of our more vulnerable schools. We just have to be really sensitized to what the needs are in this school and find ways to connect better with parents. We needed to come up with specific interventions. What works in one school might not necessarily work in another school. We need to continually monitor the rates so we know where we are and we're not waiting to the last minute to say, uh-oh, nobody's returned their consent forms. And it's critical to provide school nurses with the support that they need. This is what it looked like for our county as a whole. We ended up with 66% of the students within the whole county being immunized. That includes about 20% that because of asthma and other medical related problems ended up not being eligible for flu mist and ended up getting inactivated vaccine. This is, we reached 66% and we were the highest immunized county in the state of Florida. And that is our Surgeon General with Dr. Small, who's, this was his brainchild to begin with. She came to our county for a celebration. And based on what we learned, we have done things very differently this year. I can tell you, these are my students. That's the nurse from School A. And this year, they were ready for us. And within a few weeks, their number of permissions coming in was at 93%. I thought the nurse was going to go door to door to the ones that had not turned in their permission slips. But a system was in place, and what we did with the College of Nursing, and my colleagues are in the back who have been actively involved in this, is we identified 11 of the very high-risk vulnerable schools, and we assigned them to teams of nursing students. The rest of the schools actually got volunteers from the School of Public Health, so all the school nurses had support available to them. And we are right in the process now of looking, we're right in the middle of our school mist, our flu mist campaign right now. We've learned a lot, and each year we learn a little bit more. But it really does take everyone in the community working closely together, and we found that student nurses can make a large contribution. Thank you.